Major David Katz. He is a major in the South African Army. And you know what, David? Zanati and I need your help because the behavior of our listeners today has been completely, completely unacceptable. How do we discipline the civilians out there?
Are they just not enjoying your music? That's not on. That's not on.
Well, I don't know that's true. I think that they're enjoying complaining.
Oh, okay. Well, no, anyway, I'm here to support you. No problem.
Thank you very, very much. And Zanati, of course.
Yes, of course.
Because.
Yes.
And Zanati,
very
of course.
Grateful.
Yes, yes. Thank you very, very much. Time is 8:38. That was, Dolly Penn with, Meusharim, meaning happy. Something our listeners aren't. All right. And nor are the Iraqis. What's going on in Iraq?
Well, first of all, can we just mention this Poppy Day? I don't know if you have. We have mentioned it,
but okay. I think it's a very good idea to talk about it as well. Why is Poppy Day Poppy Day?
Well, that's when the First World War ended, on the 11th hour of the 11th day in 1918. And we use that moment to remember all those who have made a sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, right, in order for us to live a better life, no matter what side you come from. Everybody fought in a war somewhere along the line to try and fight for a better life and made the ultimate sacrifice. So that's what it's all about. It's about remembering those people.
Why poppies?
Poppies from the Flanders, from the fields in Flanders, where poppies grew. So, and also contentious, by the way. Everything's PC today or non-PC. So very contentious, the poppy, whether the poppy represents everybody, you know, everybody's
rubbish.
Over-intricatizing the whole.
Yes, what about the daffodils?
Exactly.
No, in fact, I remember reading somewhere that the poppies, although they came to represent the fields in Flanders, that actually it's an American... it was an American thing that brought that was brought to Europe. I'm going to look it up. If anybody does know why poppies have come to represent veterans and armistice and World War One, I'd love you to tell me. But I do think it actually originated from the United States.
But no matter its origin, do we have to be PC about it? I mean, it's come to represent something quite fantastic and wonderful, and now we're going to be all PC about it and say it doesn't represent certain sectors. Mm. I think that's what's happening today. It's just that everything is up for grabs. Everything's contentious and everything has to be debated. I mean, sometimes it's just better not to debate it and take it for what it is.
Absolutely. All right. So the Remembrance Poppy is an artificial flower that's been used since 1921 to commemorate military personnel who have died during the war. It represents common or field of poppies. The creation of the Remembrance Poppy was inspired by the poem In Flanders Fields, written during World War One and promoted by Moina Michael. And the originator of the Poppy Day. Prior to this, Madame Gourain had been raising funds for French and American war charities throughout World War One for widows, orphans, and veterans, the Red Cross charity organization, and other causes. So there you go. Mm-hmm. After armistice had ended World War One, the French government formed the charity, and with the poppy as its emblem.
Right.
So there we go. They created an American branch, and that's how the poppy came in to being. The British Royal British Legion's poppy appeal has caused some controversy, with some, including British Army veterans, arguing that the symbol is used excessively. It's used to marshal support behind British military campaign, and the public figures are pressured to wear poppies.
Oh my word.
For goodness sake.
Oh my word.
So there you have it.
There we have it, yeah.
So everything, I mean, I don't even want to sound dramatic, but will the far left ruin everything?
That's a good question.
Everything.
It's post. Are we going to get onto this whole postmodernism kick again?
I mean, well, that's postmodernism.
Well, it is. I mean, that's what it is. Is that everything is up for grabs? Everything needs to be debated. Everything has to be.
I mean,
politically
the poppy
correct.
Became a symbol of the loss of life in World War One.
Absolutely.
Why can't
and
it just remain?
And it's been adopted over 70 or 80 years now. In fact, no, it's longer than that. Sorry, it's we're heading now for the 100th anniversary.
And go back to the state and go back to them and say, well, yes, you know, maybe some places women didn't have the right to vote, and maybe gay people weren't allowed into the army. It doesn't take away from the sacrifice and from what happened. You could actually ruin it. Anything. What's it? You told me what the name is. So he said, "Cancel culture." What is it?
Cancel culture.
Cancel culture. That's interesting.
And that's a brilliant word.
Yes.
Because that's what we are living through is cancel culture. Well, where we look back on anything with our very woke 2019 eyes. And
it's anachronistic.
Actually,
yes, it's arrogance, anachronistic.
Complete arrogance that we think that we are the bastions of morality going back all the way to Adam.
Well, that's an interesting point you make because what we're trying to do is read history back to us. So in other words, we're trying to look at how people lived 100 years ago through the eyes that we have now, which is absolutely arrogant and impossible. We need to judge circumstances and people and remembrance parades and all that type of thing with the eyes of the people who lived in that time. So it's impossible to look back and take our what we stand for today and try and impute it backwards. So, it is arrogant to a certain extent.
That's my view. In literature, we call it intertextuality.
Yes.
And the example that I always give when I'm talking about this is we look at Hamlet and we say, well, he had an Oedipal complex.
Yes.
An Oedipus complex. But of course, an Oedipus complex was only coined by Freud, in the 20th century.
Yes.
So what did that mean? You know, can we look back at Hamlet and say, and apply? But we do that. We do look at things in an intertextual way,
yes.
But that doesn't mean being stupid about it.
No, you have to judge a man by his times. You have to judge an event and a man by his times. If he was a criminal in his times, then that stands the test. Then he's a criminal in our times also. But if a person had a certain viewpoint that was the going viewpoint of those times, you can't judge him by our far left-wing ideology. In these times, we just have to judge people within the times that they lived. That's the way to do it.
Major David Katz, tell us what is going on in Iraq.
Well, very, very interesting. On the face of it, it looks like a mostly young crowd of unemployed men demonstrating across the country against poor service delivery. They're demanding an overhaul of institutions, and they are looking to ultimately overthrow the government. That's on the face of it, but there's something deeper underlying this whole issue in the area. It's not by mistake that a lot of these demonstrators come from the Sunni section. And as you know, ISIS is a Sunni organization, and now with the demise of the caliphate, perhaps this is the way that ISIS is also manifesting
itself. Working its way back in.
Working its way back in and causing disruptions. I mean, we also know that Iran is pitted against ISIS. Because of the fact that the Iranians are Shia and ISIS is mainly Sunni. And, these demonstrators are also looking to, get rid of Iran from influencing Iraq. So very, very interesting. And also another power play, where we just don't know who's backing who, and politically, it's so intricate. There's such a web of intrigue around these things. Difficult to really uncover what's going on. I suppose part of it is a true feeling that it's time now, after decades, to have a regime change, and the regime is notoriously corrupt. So there's that, there's that behind it. But then there's also this deep political divide within the country with different people using these demonstrators as proxies. Very, very interesting.
It is, because it's also the easiest way in. When you've got a dissatisfied, disgruntled youth,
yes,
that is your easiest way those are the easiest people to radicalize, perhaps, or to turn against the country of their citizenship, surely.
Well, certainly. And once again, I refer back to the power vacuum of the Americans leaving northern Syria. It's also part of the whole deal, is that the Americans are trying to extricate themselves from a very, very difficult situation, and they are leaving a vacuum there. And different bodies and different groups within the Middle East are busy trying to fill up that vacuum. And in every country, we have different situations and different power games and a different balance of power, and different types of groups are vying for a position. And this just seems to be one of them. But what's very, very interesting about all this also is that the demonstrators have been described as leaderless. There's no leader. We can't name it. Much the same as what we're seeing in Hong Kong. You can't turn around in Hong Kong and say the demonstrators are led by X, Y, Z. And what is happening, this is a function of the new way of politics in the world, which is headless organizations being controlled through multimedia. taking to the streets and organizing themselves based on multimedia. And you can't really get to who the leaders are and where the heads are. So it's very difficult to stop these types of movements, because it's easier in the old days when there was no, when there wasn't this type of communication, to say these five people are the leaders, and then arrest those leaders or do away with those leaders. And that was the end of the movement.
So are there actually no leaders, or do the leaders rather choose a covert rather than overt role? You know, we saw that, we've seen that with ISIS as well. You know, only now when we hear about the killing of the leader of ISIS, do we really know his name. Before, but we always knew Saddam Hussein, so we always knew, you know, we've known leaders in the past.
Well, the way these terrorist organizations, you're asking me two different questions. The way they, and there's a difference between, I think, the way media organizes itself, these multimedia organization groups organize themselves, and the way terrorist organizations organize themselves. Now, a terrorist organization will work in a cell, and members of that cell won't know who the other cell is. So it has a head, but it's an organization where if the head is cut off in a certain area, the tentacles can keep on operating because of the structure that they that they've designed themselves around. With these multimedia organizations, I don't know. It's difficult to say. Maybe they came around. The organization came around sincerely to fight a certain cause. And at various times, they've taken over. They're hijacked and taken over by certain groups, certain people, and pushed in,
I would
in
imagine,
a certain
because
political
then,
direction.
Because then you can see a vulnerability.
No, certainly.
You know, because we're seeing a lot of demonstrations in Lebanon. We're seeing it in Iraq. You know, we are starting to see this happening again.
In Hong Kong. Hong Kong's a great example of what is going on. Let's just take a look at home. A movement that absolutely fascinates me, so the I am staying group, which seems on the face of it seems to be a group ostensibly for creating a positive feel about South Africa and looks very, very good. But who heads it? Who heads it at the end of the day? It seems to be quite a tightly run organization, but it's now 890,000 people. So it's a power. There's a force to be reckoned with there. So it's crucial at this
and
stage.
And there is
of the
a
game.
Leader because somebody's deciding what posts
can be
displayed and what can't be.
Certainly.
So therefore there are decision makers.
There's decision makers there. Absolutely. So,
but it's a new brand of leadership where we're not saying, well, I'm the leader of this group. Because then people focus on the leader versus the group.
Sure, sure.
Now we seem to be saying, well, here's the group, and this is just kind of how it's organized.
Yes, but for
actually,
what purpose?
But actually there is a leadership. It's
but
got,
for what?
It's got a mission. It's got a strategy.
Yes.
And it's got decision makers.
But the strategy is to create a positive.
I'm not saying it's good or bad. I think it's very good. But
I sent in a post to say where to now. Okay, you've organised 890,000 people. There seems to be quite a power behind this force. Where to now? What
I'm
do
sure
you people propose
it.
To do? And they turned around and they didn't publish it.
I have no doubt they wouldn't.
They didn't publish
because
it.
Because they don't want that kind of discourse. They're very limited in the approach, and I'm not sure it's good or bad. It just is what it is.
Yes.
So, I sent in a post as well, which was a link to an article, and it even referred to them as a positive article, and they said,
no,
we don't do articles, like we don't do links.
Yes.
So then I copied and pasted it, sent it in, and I didn't publish it either. But that's fine. But somebody's making decisions.
Somebody's making decisions, and there's a power there that can be used or abused. I mean, I think you'll agree with me with that.
Well, yes.
And,
absolutely.
I'm not sure how these groups in Hong Kong have been organized, but they're certainly organized around, multimedia.
Social media.
Mm-hmm. And the ones in Iraq are also organized. The whole Arab Spring was organized around social media. So, it's a powerful medium, and it's a medium that's not easily knocked out, not easily, combated. Mm. And can be used, as you say, can be used for various purposes, good or bad. And this is what's happening now in Iraq. So it's very interesting. I'm not really understanding, who's behind a lot of it. That's very confusing.
It's 8:58. Janine says, my entire school career, we had a special assembly at 11:11 on the 11th of the 11th. Why do our Jewish day schools not do anything? Surely we need to teach our children the importance and also remembering soldiers who lost their lives. I would imagine it is absolutely vital, but I think a lot of the schools have already started exams. You know, I think the whole year's kind of shifted a little bit earlier.
I still think there's time. I mean, even for a couple of minutes silence, there's time to just to remember. I don't think there's any excuse for it.
Okay, I hear you. And I don't necessarily disagree either. Unfortunately, this is where we love and leave you, Major David Katz. Thank you, as always. Fascinating conversation, a conversation in two parts today, speaking about Remembrance Day, the 11th of the 11th, as well as the situation in Iraq and the protests, in fact, around the world. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning. I hope you're all in a better mood tomorrow, Zanati.
I also hope so.
Please just shout at them for me, because I think it's always me.
The abuse that we got
the
from him.
Abuse.
Completely unacceptable.
Unacceptable. Mm. Yeah. Imagine if we were sensitive. It's 9:00. You have a great day. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Just don't be